So I wanted a little bit, since we're learning subasolya, and even though we have a lot of the some basic sugyas, but just to get a sense of what a ksuba is, what nisuin is, what the different lines in a ksuba are, and so on. So first of all, in terms of the halacha lemaisa, Klal Yisrael has different svarim that have become like the handbook for different inyanim. You have Mat Ephraim is on Halachas Yom Neroim, Yavshar Ephraim is on Kriyas HaTorah. The Sefer that has become the Achron that's Mekubal on Shtaris in general is called Nachla Shiva. This is, it used to be one volume smaller than this. They made it into three volumes, and it's called Nachla Shiva. It was written by Shimon Alevi Segal, who was a Talmud of the Taz, and the Talmud of the son of the Shalom HaKadosh in the 1600s sometime. And that Lamaisa Nachla Shiva is the go-to sefer for all Nusach Shtaris. I mean, anything that's been written on it is either Ha'ara on it or off it. That's Lamaisa, the sefer that has all the Pratei Shtaris. And, you know, you'll find a lot of times, you'll see this is written Nachla Shiva, Nachla Shiva, Nachla Shiva. He has not only Ksubis, he has almost every other type of Shtar, he has the Nusach. And it's the basis for our Nusach that we have. So I want to start by going through, if you have the packets, I want to go through a little bit, sketch out the Inyan of Nisuin, and then we'll see the Ksuba as we go on. So the first one is the Rambam Sefer Noshim. What is Nisuin? So the Rambam says, Koyde matan Torah hoy odem pegeh isha b'shuk. Im rotzo hu vehi lisa oysa, machnisa l'toich beisoy, uboya lo beino lo bein atzmoy v'tila l'isha. So Nisuin itself is two people agree to be husband and wife. They move in together. They live together. B'toras ishus. That's Nisuin. That's the etzim Nisuin. Kiv m'shanita Torah l'nitzav Yisrael. Shem yirtzei shlisa isha yiknoi satilav ne'edim v'chakar til isha. The Torah came along and added to Nisuin k'tushin, that it's something about it that's very prust, just to sort of go say to Nisuin. So first they make a kinyan that they want to get married, and then they get married. So the gufa nesu'in is being together in a household b'toras ishus. Added to that is k'tushin. That's one. Look at the next page. Ha'arusa, perek asiri. This is asiri in ishus. Ha'arusa asur lebayla medivrei soifrim, calls man she be base of viyah. So at this stage between Erisin and Nisuin, she's Osir to her husband. Vabal Rusase Bes Kham of Makris and Makis Maidus. Vafilum Kitcha Bibia Osle Lovela Bia Shnea Besavia Chevoisler Besa Visachma Vishana Loy. So even if the Ktushin wasn't with Bia, but once the Ktushin is over, now until she doesn't come to live with him, which is Nisuin, he's Osir Bibia. And this living together is called chuppah, nisuin, and so on. Next, then he says on the next page, v'tzorech levarech birchas chastanin beisachosgar nisuin. Chazal wa misakin that there are brachas that have to be made in order to become mutter. So those are birchas, those are birchas nisuin. Now, The next page, the Rambam writes, and this is page 4, what I marked up as 4. Chachomim Yedalit. Chachomim heim shetiknu ikir ksuba li'isha. Be'miskinu v'omer shakotayin tas besulim, he's believed. Chazal were the ones that were misakin the etzim ksuba. Okay, Perek Yud Beis. This is where he starts speaking about what Nisuin is financially. Perek Yud Beis. So now, Perek Yud Beis is, so we have the Etzim Nisuin is living together. Erisin is a prerequisite. Brachas before that is a Drabbanan. And Nisuin itself entails financial responsibilities, mutual financial responsibilities. Some of them are Midaraisa, some of them are Drabbanan. That's going to be Perek Yud Beis. Perek Yud Beis. Kishenois Adam Isha, Bein Psula, Bein Beula, Bein Doila, Bein Ktana, Achas pas Yisrael v'achas agiyos v'shecheres yischayev lo v'asor edvarim v'yiske v'ar v'dvarim. So nisuin itself is ishus. It's being allowed to live together and so on, and being us and everybody else. But there's a financial package that comes with it. 10 inyanim that he's mechuyev towards her, and 4 things which he gains mikoyach the nesuin. So now we're coming to the financial arrangements of nesuin. Vasara, of those 10 that he's responsible, shloshmen min ha-Torah, 3 of them are min ha-Torah, ve'elohein, shera ksusa v'inasa, shera is mezainis, ksusa kimashmo, anasa is lovala der kola aretz. So 3 chiyuvim midoraisa that a person has to a woman that he married. Shiva, there are 7 midivrei seferim. Bikulon tnai beznehin. Tnai beznehin means whether you spoke it out, whether you didn't speak it out, whether you gave her a ksuba, you didn't give a ksuba, you're mechuyev. It's not because, it's not that you're obligated to do it. It's not that you're obligated to write a ksuba that you will do it. You are obligated in the financial arrangement as it says. So, what are those 7 midrabanan? Echad mem ike ksuba. That's the 100 or 200 zuz that if he dies or divorces her, she will get it. Vashar mehen vashayim nikroin tnai ksuba. The rest of it is called tnai ksuba. Velehe. Lirapoisa, medical bills. Liftoisa, if let's say she gets captured to redeem her, lekoivra mesa, to bury her. Now, v'liyos nezayim in a chasav yeshevus bebeisay achamoisay kolzman amelusa. And when he dies, as long as she's not remarried, and as long as she's living in where she was living before, they have to provide, his estate has to provide the housing and the food for her. Any daughters that he had with this woman, she's entitled to keep them in the house and fed from his estate until they become aruses. And if let's say he dies, she dies. When the husband dies, her sons get her ksuba as part of their yerusha. So in other words, it's only nagia if you have 2 wives. That's why it's just about not nagia, really even nagia, something like that. If you have 2 wives and the ksuba of one of the women is greater or she has less children, so you first even out the 2 ksubas, you give them to the male children, and then you split up the Yerusha. That's called ksubas nedichet. These are 7 tnai ksuba, which are ancillary to the etzem ksuba itself. So we have 3 that yichayev deraisa, 1 that's called gufa ksuba midrabanan, and 6 more that are called tnai ksuba, they're sort of extras. Then he says, va'arba shezeiche behen, the 4 that he gets, kula midivrei seferim, it's only rabban of Elohim. Leis maisedea shalom, any income that she produces are his. Leis mitziasa shalom, anything she finds is his. V'shia oichol kol peiris nechaseh b'chayeha, he's allowed to use any of her properties for rental income, that's called peiris, rental or actual peiris. V'meisa b'chayev yerushena and yerusha. So machlokes Yerusha d'raisa rabbanon, but al kaponim, that's what it says. V'hu koydem chaladim Yerusha, and he's the first one to be Yerusha. So we have an arrangement, a monetary arrangement, where he's chayev in 3 things d'raisa. 1 thing is called ikak suba, and then 6 things that are tnaik suba, and he gets 4 things. Dalit v'oid tiknu chachamim shemaisa de isha kenegim zonaseh upidyonya kengachila. Chazal also linked different parts of it. If she wants to, she can pick and choose. She can say, you know what? I earn a lot more money than you. Do me a favor. I'm keeping my salary, and I don't need your few pennies to support my feeding me and so on. She has the right to do that. That's Dalit. Hey, kol advarim elu af al pi shenichtavu b'shtar aksuba v'afilo ikasu aksuba al nosa stam kivim shenisa zocha ba'arba dvarim shaloi v'zachzir shasorim shalov ein tzich lefarish. Hadalocha is, you do not have to write these things in the ksuba. This is called t'nai bezdin. And you become mechuyev whether you like it or not. You could opt out of some of them if you want by making a t'nai with her. But lemaisa, you become chayev in all these things because it's a t'nai bezdin. Why do we give her a ksuba? So the Gemara says, because even though he's chayev, a woman is not semech das. She doesn't think, yeah, I'll go to court and yell and scream, and then they'll say there's a halacha and this and that. When you have a piece of paper in your hand, you feel safe. So there's a lack of smichas das if there's not going to be a ksuba. And therefore, if she doesn't really think he's going to keep her, it's like a gather of a znus relationship. She thinks he's going, it's just an infatuation, then he's going to drop her, and that's it. So it's a chisorin in the ishus. So Chazal said, without a ksuba, you can't live with her. Without a physical document. And that's why if you lose a ksuba, you immediately have to write a new ksuba. Al kaponim, these are the basic halachas of the ksuba. The Rambam gives us, if you take a look on page 7, the Rambam gives us a nusa for a ksuba. It's actually at the end of Yom Chalitza. I think the reason why it's at the end of Yom Chalitza is simply because he has some other documents over there. It's not the end, but he brings other documents. He brings a ksuba here also. And the nusach that he has for his ksuba is not terribly different than the nusach of our ksuba. It's 90% the same, 95% the same. It's not terribly different. That's, to best of my knowledge, I don't know that there are early nusachos around, but this is the Rambam's nusach. We will now start looking at a ksuba, start looking at the parts of a ksuba. So the next pages you have over here are as follows. The last two pages, the last pages of Tznoyim, which has no shaykes to what we're doing, once I had it, it was the same file. That's page 11. Page 10 is a fully filled out nusach off the printing press of Rabbi Sher. He does these ksubas and, you know, straight in. So this is what a ksuba fully filled out looks like. On page 9, you have a blank ksuba. When you buy a standard ksuba, not specially made, you get this blank ksuba. Feel free to tear it out and use it. You'll save a few dollars at your chasim etz Hashem. Or if you want to ask Rabbi Sher, maybe he'll give you a discount. For you know, maybe bring in the pamphlet, they'll give some discount. But Akapanim, page 9 is what a ksuba looks like when a Masada Kedusha fills it in. If you didn't do it before, it's blank. On page 8, I split up the different pieces and bits of it, and we'll go through it bit by bit and explain what all these things are all about. So the explanation of the different points, let me tell you. The earliest, again, that I know of, there are two Rishonim that wrote a Pirush on the Ksuba. One is the Tashbitz, wrote a little Sefer called Pirush HaKsuba. Tashbitz was a Rishon. The Rav Yoh has a Pirush HaKsuba in his Sfarim. Other Rishonim bring bits and pieces of it. And the Nachal Shiva. Nachal Shiva, like I said before, is the go-to Sefer. It really, he writes each diuk and dikduk. And the different shitas today, you know, it's being somebody decided to make a machon out of it. There are two pirushim with a lot more mekayres and machlokas. But again, Nachal Shiva is the safer that Rav Moshe Halberstam told me. He was on a big place in Yerushalayim. He asked me in the back of the siddur that I printed to have two pages like a filled out ksuba and what you're supposed to write. He said it's a personal favor because every young rav used to have a kitzur Nachal Shiva in his back pocket, so whenever he came to a chasna or tnoim, whatever, he had it with him. It gives you the exact spelling for the months, for the numbers, where's chasa, where's yasser, and this and that. Al kaponim, that's the sefer. Okay, so let's look at one. B'chamishi b'shabbos, shmoyne yom chodesh kislev shnas chamesh alfen shvamei ois, lebriyas ha'olam, Leminyan Shanamainin Khan Baltimore, Maryland. So, first of all, the purpose of the date. What is the purpose of having a date on it? Why do we need a date on it? The date is there because it will tell us from when the ksuba was chal. So, Lemashal, if he has nechasim that he had on Wednesday, and he tainis was before they got married, so I don't know. So we look at the ksuba, and the ksuba gives us the zman, which means if the zman is too early, it's a shtar mukdim and it's pasul. You're not allowed to sign on a shtar mukdim because it's a gzela. It's an avla. It's worse than avla. It's pasul. You're basically saying if you sign a shtar dated earlier, in effect, so lemashal, somebody sold off his property on Monday. On Tuesday, he gets married. If you predate the shtar to Sunday, then she will come and collect from all those people, wrongly so. And the Edom who sign on it are Gazlanim. So the Zman is there so that if we didn't have a Zman, we'd have to find Edis when she got married. Now, there is a problem that comes up a lot. Not a lot, but when you have a Chasana, like in the summer, and you hoped to make it before the Shkia, it came after the Shkia, what do we do? Which date do you write? Do you write the early date or the later date? If they get married before the Shkia, the date should be the earlier date. So what you do is, since we'll see soon there's a kinyan that you makabel, so that kinyan is chal when you make the kinyan, which happens when you're writing out the ksuba, and therefore it's not a shtar muktam because you're actually a chayev from the time of the kinyan. We'll see that later. But that's one thing. Two, what does it mean, leminyan shanamonin kan? So the answer is there are at least two other systems of that were used in shtaris to count years. One is leminyan churban bayis. They would have a minyan for how long is it since churban bayis. And one is called minyan melachim. Was during the times by Sheni, they started, this is Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah, they started counting by certain kings in the Greek period, and there was a minyan that was very used. So when you're writing about a minyan, you have to say which minyan you're using. So we say the minyan Lebriya Sa'olam, Shanamanin Khan over here. People make a big deal about how to spell the name of the place. I wonder about it, because in a get, the name of the place is part of the get. And the kapeda on the name of a place, that's part of the excruciating details of a get. A ksuba is a shtar chayv. And all you're doing is writing a date. And you just want to say it's the date that you used in Baltimore. That's the dating we use in Baltimore, which is bringing us along. If you spell Baltimore off by a vav or an aleph, or as long as a bezel will recognize it means Baltimore, I don't think there's a problem. And I don't know, we're makpid a lot, but it's hard for me to understand a little bit why there's that kpeda, because at the end of the day, the place is not important at all in the ksuba. It's sach hakol, it's agav grora of, we use the dating, Brias Olam, which we commonly use in Silver Spring. So how much is the word Silver Spring important? I don't know, but Akapanim, that's the date over here. Eich shabokhe so-and-so amalado psulta so-and-so shetichya havali le'intu kedas Moshev Yisrael. The word eich over here is something which is not clear what that is. Where does the word eich mean? What does the word eich come in over here? So the Gemara in Gittin says the Iskin Rava Begitti Eich Planya Ba Planya. So what is the word Eich? Eich, it sometimes it's spelled with a hey, same thing. Heich or Eich. What does the word mean? How do you translate it? So what's assumed is as follows. A normal shtar Bechira, a normal shtar Halva, how is it written? It starts like this. Bifoneinu Edim Achsumim Mata. In front of us, we the Edim signed at the bottom. Bar, Ruvain, Ben Shimon, and Ruvain Shimon came and told us, please, I borrowed money from someone, so write me a shtar, I owe money. In other words, the shtar is a narrative of the Edom. The Edom are saying something. It's a Haggadah b'chsav. So the Nusach fits perfectly well. In front of us, so-and-so came and said so-and-so, and we were Kabbal Kinyan, or he was a Kabbal Kinyan, or he sold, or he bought, whatever it is. In a Kiyam Ashtaris, you also have a story. We were sitting three, and we looked at the shtar, and we looked at the other shtar, and compared, so on and so forth. What is a ksuba? What exactly is it? Where is the person saying something? So it's understood that we don't start b'fanenu edim, this guy came. Eich means the person on the bottom, the two edim on the bottom are saying as to how so-and-so came along and said. Eich means someone is talking about a story that happened. That's the most, and that in a get, it's a little harder to understand, the Rosh Hashanah on that, but in get, the Gemara says this nusach of Eich Planya, and in Ksuba we use it. It's understood to replace the type of thing like before Nenu so-and-so came and said this and this. So, Eich Shabochi Yagdam El Hadop Psulta. We write the word psulta, or if she's a grusha matrachta, or if she's an almana armalta, why do we do it? Does it have any shaykhs to the ksuba? So a little bit, masai mana, I guess, but one of the reasons why there's a kpeda is because of a possible marriage to a kayan. Lamashal, if she's a grusha, and the ksuba doesn't mention any of it, and her husband is nifta, a kohen might marry her. He knows her as an almana. There's no remez about it that she ever was married before. And so writing besulta means that she's kosher for a kohen. It's the significance of it is for further reference that what we want. So if somebody says, show me the ksuba, we have already information that she may be also kohen. We also are makbid on the names. Once again, there is no reason mitzad ksuba to be makbid on the name. Ksuba is a shtar chayv. And if a shtar chayv says that Itzik from the grocery store borrowed $1,000 from me, and then the guy comes and says, it's a mistake, I'm not called Itzik, I'm called Izik from the grocery store. So Bezdin will laugh and say, whoever you are, you owe $1,000. As long as Bezdin convinces the person, that's fine. But you say Izik or Itzik or Itzki or whatever it is, it makes no difference. In a get, the get might not be kosher. In a get, the name is very specific. So in a ksuba, there shouldn't be a real terrible kpeda on it. But there's a mesiris that since we use a ksuba a lot of times, as part of how we ascertain the name for a get lo aleinu, that we should be very makbid neksuba. So we try very hard to be makbid on names of ksuba, despite the fact that there's no intrinsic need to. It's important to understand, you can't pass a ksuba because the name is off. As long as the name is close enough that a bezin would left you out and say, come on, this is you. Is it not you? That's good enough mitzad the ksuba. But as a Messiah, to do it as carefully as possible so that in a future reference, and a lot of times a person gets married when he's young. If there's a need to write again, it might take much later, and people have forgotten a lot. So this is part of the Messiah's writing that we try very hard to be makpid on the name. We don't write chasn over here. And we don't because, or we don't write maras, we don't write chasn because This is ke'ilu before it's before the actual nisuin. It's only once they say we want to get married that we start calling them chasan denan and maras. So it tells us amar lo ladop sulta shetichi avili leintegras v'yisrael, which he told her become my wife. Later on, it says also that it says, and she said that she agreed to it. And then it says, and he told her, V'kach Omer Rabbi Yaakov, this is number 9, V'kach Omer. Did he ever say it? Does he ever say these things? So this sentence, Havlila into, when you say Amir Atmakudesh says he's going to say that. But even though the Edom haven't heard it yet. But later on when it says, V'kach Omer Rabbi Yaakov Chazan Dinan, he never says it. No one says these things. You're not supposed to, you don't have to. It's not something you have to do. So it says that this word Omar means it's self-evident. This is being expressed. You don't have to hear him say those words. It means this is being stated. Because or else it would be almost a merci kishikra. No one says these things. There's no inyan to say it. So kach Omar the Mepeskim say means this. Since it's a milsa that's muchach. It's an ansadi, you can write it. Okay, so now he says, the first thing is 3. V'ano eflach v'oike v'ezen v'afanis asichilichi. What are these things? Eflach, ezen, afanis, and oiker. So there's a little bit, it means sher ksus and oina. The question is exactly which is which. A little bit of a shaila amongst the poiskim, which is which. The one that there's a machlekes in Tosfos, an interesting machlekes is eflach. I will go and work. Now, if a person comes into the marriage with money, he has to support his wife. If he comes into the marriage with a field, he has to milk the cows and bring it to his wife and give her. What happens if he has none of it and he has to go out and work? He has to go out to schlep stuff. So the machlokes in Tosfos, it's in Ksubos Samach Gimel, whether or not a person is mechuyev to rent himself out in order to support his family. Rabbi Eliyahu says, it says, Ano eflach, I will go to work. The Rabbi Natam says that eflach means whatever karka he has, he's mechuyev to try to get payers out of it. But there is no chiyuv whatsoever for him to go out. I guess it was difficult, degrading. I don't know what exactly the difference. For us, working on your farm or working on someone else's farm seems the same to us. But it's a machlekes rishonim. Is the ksuba mechayev you to go out of what you have and become a hired hand or not? So eflach, so machlekes in Tosfos and Ksubos of Gimel, whether or not eflach means I will go out to work, or I will work whatever properties I have. The oikir means I will respect, I'll give kavod. It does not mean that you stand up for your wife or you say reverent things about her. The Gemara says that mechabdo bibgodim mezoynis, the Gemara says in Chulin, this is a Chulin peidal ramad beis, that v'yechabit ishto yibonav yoysi ma sheyeshloi. In other words, giving her more than you would be expected to is a sign of respect. It's just like when a chashev guest comes to your house, you don't give him the tuna fish you're eating, you give something nicer. So the ve'oikir is, I will upgrade your upkeep to something which is fitting for you. So I know eflach ve'oikir ve'ezna fanesasir chikil skuvrin yidoyen. So this means basically he's going to do it, and he's going to do it al tzara yisatoyif. There's a shayla of hilchas guvin yodoyin. What is it going back on? In other words, is this going back on the halacha that I will do what I'm mechuyev to do as a Jew, or is it going on the oikir that good yidden treat their wives better than the mechuyev to? And that's what's going on. But upon him, that's that sentence. 4. So we have like this. Statement 1 was Havilil into. That's not Mechayim anything. That's a statement of fact. The first one was the Chiyuvim of Mezoinis. The second one is V'yevnelechi Moyab Sulaychi. That's the Guf HaKsuba, the 200, the Masayim. The Chazichim in the Raisim. So those of you who've learned Ksubis Daf Yud know that Tosis says it depends. This Chazchim Deraisa depends whether or not you hold Ksubis Deraisa or not. The Ramah brings two minhagim whether we put it in the Ksuba or not. The Minig Ashkenaz is we write the Chazchim Deraisa. I believe Minig Sfarad is you write just the Chazalchi. Yes, I was. Write the Chazalchi without Midaraisa. So that's an important difference between on the Ashkenazi minig and Sephardi minig in Iksuba. And then five. So he's promising her. Umezoynaichi ksusaichi v'sifukaichi umel avaseichi k'ora kalara. That's sher ksus and oina. Mel avaseichi k'ora kalara is a takeoff on a pasuk. And a lot of the phrasing here is a take on the pasuk. It says, "V'ish ein ba'aretz lo valenik del kol ha'aretz," and so that's a take on that pasuk. What does sipukaychi mean? So we have mizaynaychi ksusaychi umel vasaych shekus vayna. What's sipukaychi? So the poskim say it means the halach is you have to give us spending money, more kesef to use for small things, miscellaneous things. That goes into the chiyuvim that I'm promising. It's interesting that it gets stuck in over here, not in other things, but Akapanim, that's the... Okay, six. Utsvias maris rachol psol tadov avle intu. So now she agreed to it. Now, listen, follow along about where this stage is. The back and forth saying to her is kedushin. So, he told her, be my wife, kedas maris yisrael. That's haretu kedashli kedas maris yisrael. The chiyuv of sherksus for oina is be'etzim from the kedushin be'etzim, and she agreed and vavalele into. By accepting kedushin, she was that finishes sort of the erusin and the ikach chiyuvim that happened mikoyach the etzim erusin. Now we have some new things over here that are going to be new chiyuvim that were not there before, and they come together with the Nesu'in. Seven. V'dei Nedunya Ne'olzim Be'avua. Let's talk about what Nadin is, what Nedunya is, and this is the heftier part of the Ksuba. It's normal when a person gets married, the wife brings assets to the marriage. The husband brings assets. They stay by him, they're his. So a man comes into the marriage, he has a car, he has a house, he has whatever he has, they're his. His wife is just gets the kesus and the parnas and everything else, she gets no into it. And if the marriage is over, then he goes on his way and he has all the stuff. What happens when the woman brings in, and she normally does bring in assets? Especially since there's an inyan to give Nadin and Moar it's part of the tradition. She brings in things to make her a more appealing prospect. So she brings in a house, she brings in a car, a farm, a factory, a business. So as long as they are together, that's fine and good. So now he has Parnasa B'Shefa, and she's not from Parnasa. Everything's wonderful. When things are wonderful, everything's wonderful. What happens if the marriage is over? What happens to all the stuff? It's not fair that he should take it, and that's the end of it. So what do? So there's two ways for a woman to be protected. One is a type of arrangement, which is the most common one, and it's called Nechsi Miluk, which means he never gets to own a property. So she brings in a car, and he, let's say, decides to be an Uber driver. So the car is hers. The husband can't sell it, can't do anything with it. He drives it around. He makes money Ubering. And then when the marriage is over, the car is hers, and that's it. It took a little bit of wear and tear, maybe a lot of wear and tear. That's life. She gets back the car the way the car was, and that's Nechsi Miluk. It's called Nechsi Miluk because it's like flicking a feather. You inevitably end up with less, but you end up with the car that you brought into the marriage. What happens, there's another arrangement. let's say she's not so happy with that. She brings in a Mercedes or, I don't know, a Lamborghini. I learned there's a new car, a Lamborghini, a Lamborghini. I'm not sure which one is the right pronunciation. And she doesn't mind him doing Ubering, but she doesn't want to end up with a car that's worth $100,000 that was Ubered. So there's another arrangement. He says, listen, you brought me to the marriage a car worth $100,000. There's insurance on it. When the marriage is over, you get $100,000. That's called Nichsei Tzayin Barzel. It's like cast in steel, and that will stay hers. You brought a house into the marriage. So it's after it's over, if the house is worth less than it was when we started, you will get the full value that you brought in. That's called, in the Ksuba, Nichsei Milug is not mentioned. Nichsei Milug doesn't need to mention Ksuba because there's no transfer of assets to him. She has what she has, and he's using it. So he's just using it as long as he's married. Nichsei Tzayin Barzel, something happened. She brought the stuff. Basically, he doesn't have to give it to her. So he can take the car and take the keys. He now owes $100,000. That's called Nichsei Tzayin Barzel, and we need to take note of it. So if the Ksuba was a very detailed document, and the Ksuba was something that was, and it was Nagei, all these details, you'd make a list. And you would say, I brought into the marriage this, 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 and this. They're worth this, this, and this. If you get dissolved, you this is what you pay me. That's how you would do it. We don't do it like that for many reasons. So we do write, though, the inyan itself, and we write, V'dei nidunya dan olas lemi be'avua. All of the nadin that you brought from your father's home, be'im be'kesa, be'im be'zor, tachshit, mon elvusha, shemusha dira, shemusha arsa, jewelry, clothing, furniture, different furnishings, everything and bedding and stuff like that. Reb Yaakov Sanan was mekablet for meyaskum keser. In other words, we agree on a value of meyaskukim. I want to talk about this a little bit. So first of all, this nusach is something that evolved in Ashkenaz, in Germany, and then Poland. The Rishonim lived in France and Germany. Poland was kind of a backwaters, and people just moved. So Ashkenaz Jewry is comes from there. They wanted to make a unified. They felt it was first of all, what happens if a collar doesn't have much assets, and many collars didn't. So she's going to write, I brought in two chairs worth $50 a piece. It's kind of embarrassing. The other one brings in a mansion with 20, with a whole stable of horses, and this poor girl brings in two chairs. It's not good. So they made a clothing stick of nusach that every ksuba would have. And we say, and that's why it says in the Poskim, do we say that she brought in, we itemize, tachshitim ani levusha shemushadir shashasa, it should sound very, very chashiv. And we have a standard amount called Meya Skukim Kesef. Now, there's a mistake here people make. Meya Skukim Kesef has nothing to do with the Meya Masayim whatsoever in the Ksuba. The word Skukim actually refers to marks, German marks. They were called something or other, marker, organic or something like that, silver marks. And they were pure because of a silver date. It was kind of stamped. So it's an amount that is it was a German mark at a certain time. If you want to say for that extraordinarily good, clear, well written and well researched on these things, there's a sefer called Midas Vishure Torah from Chaim Banish. Rav Chaim Banish is an author who's written tremendous. Whatever he writes, he's extremely meticulous. He writes on Zmanim. He lists all Shiurim the Torah, where it's written, where it comes from, the Ishtal Shalos. He's very, very good. And he goes through it. So this is an old type of coin that we use, and this became the standard. So we evaluated it. We agree that its value is Meyas Kukim Kesef. So Meskun Kesev means silver marks. It basically, that's the amount. Eight. Vitzavi Reb Yaakov, and he says the chassan was okay. V'hoisiv lo min delay oig Meskun Kesev acherim kinegdon sacha kol Meskun Kesev sar. It's a gesture of goodwill that we, it's a gesture of goodwill that we give another, so that, you know what, you gave me a house that's worth so and so much, if the marriage dissolves, I give you back twice as much. It's a tosefes, it's a nice tosefes. What's it based on? It's based on a Mishnah later on. The Mishnah says in its Ksubas Avav and Beis, that if somebody is poisek money, you know, a person brings in nadin, 1,000 dinar, you give back 1,500. In other words, it's 50% of what you got, or 33% of the global amount. Why? Because since you're gonna do a lot of business with it, I brought you in a car. The car is worth $50,000, and you're going to use it to make money. Be a mensch, and when you give it back, don't just give back the $1,000. Give back, you know, more, because you used it. So, in spirit with that, it's not the same amount. I say, you know what? I'll match what you brought in, and if it dissolves, I will give you back the keren, and I will give you another 100. That's the gesture we do. Let's stop. So first a small ha'ara, and then something more important. It says that the money that you brought from your father's estate. If a girl is lolenu yosoma, you don't write avua, you write nasha. Bei nasha. Nasha is a word that sort of means estate of my father. Kinashani lekim es beis avi. So it's a word more general, not specific father. L'maynaf gemina. What do I care what it is, what's not? Why say it? You brought into the marriage. What's the difference? It came from your father, it came from your brothers, it came from Klal Yisrael. What's the difference? So the Rishonim say that this refers to a takanas Rabbeinu Tam. It's brought in Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam made the following takana. Lo'aleinu, people would die young in those days. Even though they didn't vaccinate their kids, they still died young. So imagine, despite that there was no vaccination, that they still died young. Hard to understand why. Hard to understand why, if they get vaccinated, everybody died of the plague. I don't know, it doesn't make any sense, but that's the way it was. So, Lolenu, you'd have a following situation. You'd have somebody marries off his daughter. He gives her a very nice nadin, gives her magnificent nadin. She's nifta within the year, and then the husband moves on. There's something about it, again, which they felt needed some sort of balance. So Rabbeinu Tam made a takana that if the woman is nifta within the first year and leaves no children, the nadin goes back to the father. So, in other words, so if they're a family and they're more than a year, or their children left over, then the Midas HaDin says to put it this way. But if not, now, that was a takan shabin. Time it's proof, much in many Rishayim. So, it's important to state where the money comes from. If it came from a father, mibei avua, so it's going to go back to him. Mibei nasha, we're going to have to look for the brothers, and so on. That's why there's a kapeda. So it's one of those places in the ksubas that leave a lot of blanks. Be'avua, the word avua will be left out. That's why it's in bold over here. And you could write be'nash, but that's the significance of it. But let's go back. So that was a smaller point. Let's go back at the whole thing. Rabbi Yaakov came along and added more meis kukim kesef, sacha kol masayim kukim kesef tzar. So what exactly is the, what is this sachakal over here? What does it include in itself? So it's a big, big machloikis. I'll say what the Nachas Shiva says and the Bach, and this is basically I guess would be considered to be the main shita, but there are four shitas on it, at least. 200 skukim kesef includes ikka ksuba, nedunya. So nedunya is the 100 skukim kesef is a lot more money than ikka ksuba. And we'll get to it later. We'll try to get some sense of the numbers. The ikka ksuba, we get the, so we have the ikka ksuba, the nadin, the 50% of the nadin kineged it, and then the rest is tosis ksuba. So the sach hakol includes ksuba, tosis ksuba, nadin, and kineged the nadin. Nothing else except the sach hakol. Some shittas say no. Some shittas say it includes only the nadin part, not the ikka ksuba and not the tosefes ksuba. Some shittas say it includes tosefes ksuba, nadin, and kineged the nadin, does not include the ikka ksuba. Different shittas, and but again, the Nachash Shiva is the rule of the thumb, and he says sach hakol is a real sach hakol. So you're getting over here ksuba, tosefes ksuba, nadin, and kineged the nadin, that the what's called shlish. Kineged, that's what you're getting over here. Okay, so we have here what he promised, what he's giving us. He's giving her, so in the Erisin, he became a chuyev in Shekhsos Va'ina. He now promised her the ikka ksuba, the nadin, the kineged the nadin, and a little tesefes ksuba, not a little, quite a lot actually, we'll see, and tossed into it. Now the next stage. Who's responsible to pay for it? Let's say the person was nifta. What happens? Now, let me explain something. There's a real problem because collecting from yesomim halachically is not an easy one. You can collect only karka and so on. So what happens over here? So this is also based on a Gemara. Let me read to you the it says in Gemara in Ksubis, pay base on base. Amr of Yehuda, Barishayna Yekoisin Lepsula Masayim Ulamana Mana. People would write Ksubis, Boyamaskin Lo Yenoisim Nashim, and the women would not want to get married. Ad Shibashim Eshatr Vetikin, Kol Nechasav Achrayin Leksubasa. In other words, and Rashi says why. So roitzes the noslem amulek sheyomos egarish limtzel voice klum shayosh netzniyamos soliyusha. I mean, if unless everything that he has is mishubed, the person will find a way to sort of hide his karka. So this is a takana that every single element of his nechasim are mishubed. The Loshon Rambam here is, it's a Loshon Rambam in Ishus Tezayin Ches. Tiknu ha-ge'oinim b'chol ha-yeshivas. The ge'oinim used to have yeshivas. And those are the centers, the Torah centers in Nardar, in Pupadisa, and so on. These were in Surah. Those were the places that had yeshivas. And the Loshon that we always use is, this is how they did in yeshiva, this is meaning a yeshivas, takanas a yeshivas. Yeshivas were those days sort of what we would call today like the merkas of the Torah center, the halacha center, the psak center of it. So the Rambam writes, Tikna goinim b'chol yeshivas, shetia isha goivik subos achemois baila, af mina metaltlin. That there was a takana that you could take even metaltlin. Normally from yisayimim you can't take metaltlin. Kederech sheiskinu b'al choyblik z'natalpin. Upashta takana zubarev Yisrael. And Klai Yisrael, by and large, accepted it. V'chein shat na iksuba kulon kiksubahe. And that's all parts of iksuba. V'yeshna me'metalpin kibikarka, except for iksubas ben dichrin, which they didn't, there was no such minhag. Lefikoch ani oime ma'minas adina talmud, sheyosh iksubas imun imnakarka, as far as iksubas ben dichrin. And then he says, "Kvar nogu b'cholam ekoymer sheyadanu v'sheshemanu sheyichtevu b'ksuba b'mekarkim metalpli." We write mefurish into the ksuba, v'dov is a tikkun gadol hu. And this is a very important takana. Vanoshim Gdoilum and Avoinim and Higudavazeh. And this was made by people who had a lot of seichel and understanding. So this is something that, and he says, since we write it into the ksuba, it's not a takana that every shtetl will say, well, this is a Sfari takana, this is a Chassidish takana, this is a Hungarian takana. We write it into the ksuba. The Rambam says because it's a very important halacha, because you need to be able to collect from somewhere. And the only way in which we could ensure that this would become standard is to write it into the ksuba, so it's a fact and not a shtetlish takana. So the kachem of Yaakov Chassan Dina, achraya shtar ksub tado, nidunya deim tosef tado, all aspects of it, kabolas olay val yosai basroi, I was mekabla myself and all my yorshim, lehisparea mikol shfar arag nichsim v'kinyonin, v'isit choshmaya. I will pay from the best nechassim that I have, wherever they are. Now, let's explain something. What is this beautiful language? Shfar arag nichsin. It means the best of the best. So it seems a remis for Yiddish. The Rav Yo says that even though me'ikar adin yugavus and ziburis, It's mitzad what you wrote into it that you'll be going from Yiddis. There's a shail in the poiskim. What about metaltalin? Can she say, I want the diamonds? The halacha is me'ikar adin in metaltalin. There's no such thing as Yiddis. All metaltalin is Yiddis. You bring it to the pawnbroker, he gives you money, and shalom al Yisrael. But some of the poiskim are dying from the lashon here that. In economy, over here we will also be goyva from the Rav Yo says in metalton you'll also be goyva from Yiddish. Machloikas the Maram writes not like that, but Akoponim that is what it means over here. So shfarag nichsin v'kinyonin, the islit chayz kol shmaya means anything I have karka or metaltalin, and Yiddish dafka by karka it's certainly relevant. By metalton machlokes apoyskim, the kanoy de osran lemikni. What does that mean? The halacha is: let's say I borrow money. So anything that I own at the moment that I borrow the money, it's mishubet. If I sell the karka, that's lekuchos. That's called mishubadim, and I collect it. What happens if I buy karka later? So right now, when I borrowed the money, I had no karka. A year later, I bought a house. And then I sold the house. And now I don't have where to pay you from. So that's called the ikni. It's normally it's not chal. But if the person says she'ekne, or the ikni, you make him a first atayin it, that could become a shuvit. So by ksuba, he's putting it in mefurish over here, that the ikni is going to work. And anything that you will buy, it'll work. Some hold not like that. It's machlokes apoyskim whether the ikni becomes a shubet or ksuba not. According to those who say that it does not become a shubet, the osan al mikni is something called shufet eshtar. You write extravagant neschos. Shufet eshtar means you write like fancy lashonis, even though technically you can't be goyva. But I think ungenomen is it's saying mefurish. That Ekne will work over here, and you will collect from them. The Chos Nisachayis, Lesachayis, Kulan Yu Achroin Vayvoyin Lefrei Min Hoyin Shtak Supta Danu Yen Tzesu Do Minoy Vafilu Min Glimod Al Kasfoy. Afilu Min Glimod means even the jacket that I'm wearing. Is that true or not? Will you collect from the jacket or not? So it's a Lashon Gemara. Glimod Al Kasfoy is a Lashon Gemara. But the question is, there's another halacha that's called a misadin al balchoyv. If somebody owes money, he owes a lot of money, you don't take away everything he owns. The person has to make a living. The person has to live somewhere. So you sit down, Bezos sits down and says, okay, these are things you need the minimum to live on. These are things you need to do business. Anything else you give away. So glimen al kasfoy is l'chura just a strong lashon. It doesn't mean a mamish kipshuto. Because the chur, there are some that say there's no din of mesadin u'bal chayiv. It's a machlokes rishonim. But the Beis Yosef says a klal as follows. And this is a klal in many areas in the shtar. If a person writes in something unusual in the shtar, then he means it deliberately. So if nobody would write the Glimel HaKasfoy, and somebody, some chacham writes Glimel HaKasfoy, then we will say he means it literally. Because Glimel HaKasfoy is a standard nusach, we interpret it as shufin ishtarah. In other words, it's part of the flashy language. I owe it to you, even with the jack on my back. It doesn't mean dafk, it just means every possible effort or something like that. That's the way it says, Pasha, that's where we go. So we will say that to Masadr, and since everybody writes it, it's just a type of that lashon. So it says, "B'chayei or basachayei." Now, if you wanted to be exact, you would say, "When I divorce you or when I die." Neither of those are very positive things to write. You don't want to write. So you write "B'chayei," which means, if we dissolve the marriage, I'm living, which is geirishin. Or basachayei is a nice. Some people write. Some people write Moisi, but it's a nicer nusach to write that way. Either one is fine, make a din. Okay, so that is mitzad achray is where you're going to pay it from. Next, v'achray 10. V'achrayas v'choyme shtar ksub tada nedunya denis kibla rebyakata nan kichoyme kol shtar ksubis at the seftes dang mas yisrael asu yukitik in chazal. What does the word kechayme kol shtayek subasefta mean? So the poskim write as follows. This is, let's say the sefer is not a great sefer. He wrote out the ksuba. He sort of doesn't know all the halachas. He's not so he's not so bucky, and he missed out a point or two. So this Lashon Kechayme Kol Shtarzing means whether I wrote it or not, my intention is to have the shtar have all the halachas of a shtar that is used in Klal Yisrael. It's basically I'm saying if there is anything missing in the shtar, look at all the other shtaris and see what they write. So it's a way to cover yourself. If you made a mistake, you left out something, if you didn't write the exact nusach, I say in case of doubt, follow the standard nusach of ksubis that we use. That's what kechayme kol shtar ksubis hasef zanag mas yisrael, asun yitik in chazal. In other words, take the best case shtar and use that as your model, and that's what I mean, and anything else attribute to a Torah sefer. The poskim say the following. This works for errors and mistakes of lashon, of details, and so on. Let's say there was a minik to write in a whole tanai about something or other, and I left it out. It wouldn't work. The chayma, I can only use it for bits and pieces. But let's say there was a minik in this place, everybody would write a tanai that in case this happens, this is not chal. It's not good enough. The chayma is not good enough to cover something as broad as a tanai. And if you left it out, it's not going to happen. But any word or detail or something like that, that's covered in the word kechayma. The loika smach like ketuv se deshtara. So again, this is a gemara. It's a quote from a gemara about. It's a gemara about basim emdalon on base. The gemara says over there that it's a. The gemara says. Let's explain what this is and why we write this. The whenever a person conducts a deal that's business, I sell a field, I borrow money, and so on, those are normal business deals, and that's not a problem in a smachta. The type of deals where if this happens, I will do this. In other words, a penalty. If I don't build this house in time, I will pay you. It'll be free of charge. Somebody is a builder, And I tell him, you know, I need the house ready by Pesach. And he says, yes. And I tell him, I don't believe it. And the guy says, you know what? If it's not ready by Pesach, it's on me. That's called an asmachta. Any time when there's no real monetary justification for it, and it's just because I went out on a limb, I mischayev myself, something that there's no chiyuv, that is called asmachta. Normally, it would not be koina, because we say it's just kind of a you know, it's also like a flamboyant language. Over here also, I'm writing a ksuba, there's nothing now that I owe, or what, I'm saying, you know what, and in case the marriage breaks up, here, you're getting this and this and this. So I write the Lashna like Asmachta to explain that I'm understanding this as Chayvus, not being an Asmachta. In other words, I understand that if it's an Asmachta, it wouldn't work, and this is not an Asmachta, I mean it seriously. It re-emphasizes that Kinyan. Okay. Then it says, V'kanina, we make a kinyan. What do you have to make a kinyan for? We make a kinyan. We do actually make a kinyan from the chassan. So why do you make a kinyan? So first of all, the you don't not only need a kinyan. The Gemara says that anything that has to do with chiyuvim for marriage, you kind of with dibur. People are so sensitive that even if they say kamat elisa bincha, kamis bincha, hein ain't varm that dibur is kaina. So why over here do you need a kinyan? So either it's just a chizuk. It's not. Another possibility is when you mak them the shtar like we do. So mele, when you get married, the chiyuv is mikoyach, the etzim nesuin. But if you makdim it, so the kinyan becomes a kinyan that you've mechuyev on these things right now. For that could be in hakanah. Let me point out another thing. On a normal kinyan, what happens? Reuven gives Shimon a handkerchief, and Shimon sells him his cow. That's a typical chalipin. If you'll take a look at the chasentish, so when it comes to the kinyan on the ksuba, the kala is nowhere to be seen. She's not supposed to be seen by Ashkenazim at least. So who makes the kinyan? The edim make the kinyan. The edim give the mitpachas and the suitor, and they make the kinyan. So how does that work? So the lashon like this, v'kanina is the Edom writing it. The Edom say we were kinder from him. So the Rishayim, some of them want to say it's a get of shlichus. Most Rishayim say it's a get of Eved Knaini. When you learn Kedusha Mitzvah Hashem, Megdin Eved Knaini means somebody can do something for me. He can give his chayfetz and do a kinya for me. But it's something that a person should be bothered with. How does that work? If you'll notice, there's like a line over there, an empty space. It's something, it's a minhag. People leave out the nun so that we fill it in only when they make the actual kinyan. It should be like, the Gemara says, if you write a nusach of a shtar beforehand, it's merci keshikra. So since you fill in this last nun over here, that's become a minhag. I don't know how much it works, but akopanim, it's for that reason. So he says, "V'kanina from the chasen to the kala, psulta da al koma de kosim mefurish le'el, b'mana de kosim mknayabe. B'mana kosim mknayabe is a gemara. The gemara says that each one of these marba metzia. The gemara says each one of these is memayit something else. B'mana as opposed to peiris, the kosh as opposed to something else, the mknayabe as opposed to moment. Each one." Is telling me b'mana kasha mknayabe. Each one is telling me Caleb shall lekeach. Each one is telling me something that is missing in the halacha that I could pass mess up. We're stating that we have fulfilled every part of kinyan chalipin we could think of. 12. Hakol shor v'kayim. Hakol shor v'kayim is a what should I call it? It's a placeholder. There's a halacha that whatever is written on the last line does not count in a shtar. The reason is because Chazal were afraid that there'll be some gap between the shtar and the Adam signing, and a skilled and not terribly scrupulous, and a scrupulous a person will write in the last line, and you also owe me $1 million. So whatever says in the last line doesn't count. So we either repeat, or we write something like Hakel Shor V'Kayev, and everything is true and so on. A meaningless statement. But it's there to sort of provide that gap. Now, the Neum 8, some people are makbid to write Neum so-and-so 8, or to write 8. The reason is as follows. Remember we said that a normal shtar, we have, it starts off, Bifaneinu Eidim, Hachsumim Mata, we signed on the bottom, in front, before us came so-and-so and said so-and-so and did so-and-so and so-and-so. So it's very clear they're Eidim. I start off by saying we, the guys in the bottom, are Eidim. Here, we have nothing like that. Question is that, two people signing. Yankel and Reuven, who are you? I mean, just maybe I ask for an autograph. There's nothing that reads over here that tells me these people are Eidim. So the Yesa Bitochen, we write in these Neum Eid that this is testimony of these two Eidim. It's done uniquely over here because this is the only place where we have a nusach like this. It's only shtar that we don't have. The nusach starting at the top. So therefore, we need to write on the bottom. Some people, there's a minhag, and Yerushalayim, they actually do it that way, there's minhag in some places that the chassan signs also. It creates a problem. It has a mila that even if the Edom apostle, but Xaviad is goiva, it's Adas Baldin, it creates a possible problem that you might think he's an aid, and Nimtzach Mekarev Apostle has a problem with it. So what you do is you make it a little further down, and so on, or you write Mefurish V'Aniyah Chosin Gam for something Lamata, you take care of that problem. This is the basic Nusach of the Ksuba. So first, there are other Nuschos also, just one in two ways. One is, there are different types of Ksubas. This is a Ksuba, a typical Ksuba for a Psula, getting married under normal circumstances. You have Grusha, Giyoris, Almana, that have some slightly different Nusach. There's also one or two other variations. And again, the Nachlas Shiva is one who brings them all. One is a Ksuba de Irkas. If you lost your Ksuba, so it's very sensitive, because you're not going to live without a Ksuba. If your wife can't find a Ksuba, you can't have Yichud. You can't be together. So you need to write a Ksuba ASAP. Now, we're afraid, what about if the woman is playing games and she wants to have a collection of Ksubas? Not only for the beauty of Ksubas, but she can collect a half dozen times. So there's a Nusa for Ksuba de Irkas, which will tell us that this is a Ksuba written instead of this Ksuba, and so on and so forth. We have a Ksuba that is Shtakach Beta'usa. Let's say you look back at the Ksuba and you realize that the Ksuba had a mistake in it. So your problem is you're going to be rewriting a Ksuba with a different Nusach than was there before. So there's a Nusach for that. There are Nuschos for these special circumstances. Again, the Nachash Shiva is the go-to place. He has all those Nuschos. And Sfaradim have, so amongst Ashkenazim, there's some slight variations. The Polish, a little bit some Hungarians, but very little real variations. Sfaradim also have different types. Some of them have substantial differences. Not substantial differences, that's a nusach, but they add a shvua l'mashal. They add about when I can give a get, when I can't give a get. There will be some places where you agree not to leave Eretz Yisrael unless the other side wants to. Those are conditions that are added in. Some people, and again, this is more prevalent, this is why I just fired him, some will write in amounts other than standard amounts. And that also will sometimes create a lot of pressure. You know, people want to show off $1 million, $10 million, and then Lolenu, this has come up in Israeli courts a lot, where, you know, the person at the chasna was extravagant, and then if he has to break up, he says, I didn't mean it. But you signed, and you took a shtar, you wrote like a sarachta, and you know, 101 different ways he did. Those are issues that come up, and that's why, you know, keeping it to standard nusach has a tremendous mileage. One more point. What is the amount we're talking about? So how do you so there's two parts of the ksuba. The amount of etzem ksuba itself is money that's written in the Gemara, and it's Gemara and so on, and we have a certain valuation. The value of 200 zuz. The Shoharach is 120 grams of silver. According to Ramah, it's 960 grams of silver. I have news for you. A gram of silver is today worth, this morning it was worth 48 cents. So 960 grams of silver is also not a terrible deterrent. So it's 1,000 times a half a dollar. So $500... if you drive by, I'm in Passaic, where I go sometimes, there's a sign there that they arrange divorces for $390. It's like very cheap. Get divorced very cheaply. $390 is quite a little everything. So $500 is not going to be a terrible, that's already the high shita. The low shita is a tenth of that, basically. It's a big shiloh. So what do you do? How do you pass that? Some want to say that 200 zuz in the Gemara is what normal price of living was, and translate that. That's one nahalach. It's usually up to the batidinim and up to what minigam medina is. The one that has a lot more value is the skuk and kesef business. What is a kesef zakuk is a lot harder to figure out than the Masayim. Masayim Zuz is amount of silver, it's how many grams of how many grains, the bottom shear are grains of barley. Silver in the weight, in the size and weight of grains of barley, that's doable. We have a way of figuring it out, and that's done. This other stuff, this Kukim Kesef, goes back to the currency that changed a dozen times. Stability wasn't one of the virtues of Europe. They captured, they conquered, they debased the currency, they added to the currency, they swindled. So when and all these Lashainis and Rishainim, Rhinish and Lutton and Marx and old Rublin and new Rublin, and it's a tremendous mess, and it's very, very hard to figure out what it was exactly. What was it? I mean, you know, how do you translate a currency from the 1600s, which Nachashiv was written, to something that's like today? So good, it's Chazon Ish, others, some of it they base it at how much the Mashmos and Achronim, a multiple of how much was it, they do mention how much was it a multiple of the basic Masayim, how much more it was, 20 times as much, whatever it is. The Chazon Ish share is big. It's the biggest share. I think it comes into something like $20,000, the Masayim. The other shitas are much less than the Chazon Ish shita. It can be $2,000, $3,000. But if there's any amount in Ksuba that's substantial, is that. There was a, question, how much has inflation affected? So, I don't know. It's one of these points that's up in the air. Al Kapanim, that is a basic overview of what a ksuba is. And I think it's important you recognize and see how much is built on Gemara and Yonim, and how much on Minhagim and Takanas Dovodin later. We saw a lot of these pieces are Gemaras, where we take the Nekudas of a sugya and incorporate the Shtar. On the other hand, the bulk of it, this nadunya, is a takana. It's a later takana. That's how we did it. It fits the Gemara. It's not against the Gemara, but that whole shtickle is a takana. Well, any questions? Anything anybody wants to ask or whatever it is? so you can keep the packet and use it, Bez Hashem, if you want to use the blank one for yourselves, or if you happen to have the same name and find a kalav with the same name, you have a fully filled out